This is Doug Miller. God will, in fact, gather his own together, and not one shall be left behind. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back again with the Word of God in hand. We are in the book of Zechariah, and I would advise all of you who are listening to bring your Bibles along. Open up to Zechariah. We're in chapter 8. I think you will find it very profitable. And call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the assistance of the Lord's people. Please pray for Dialogue. Write our names down and take us before the Lord. Pray that the Lord will give me freedom to open my mouth and teach and speak the truth. Pray that the Lord will open up the hearts of people who listen to take this in and to have their lives changed. Pray that God will expand ever outward this ministry and other ministries, because the time is growing short and this word needs to grow to go out. We need your prayers. And, of course, as I always say, we'd always love to hear from you. Our mailing address is Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you say, well, why would I write you? Well, why not? I could answer any questions you might have, or we could answer them down here, that we could provide you with any materials that you might need or do anything for you that you need done, if it's within our power to do it, and if it's the sort of thing that you need to have, well, we will certainly undertake to do that for you. So let us hear from you. If you wish to email, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. And if you wish to look at our webpage, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And finally, if you wish to call and talk to me, I'd be happy to return your call. You'll get a message you'll get a recording to leave a message, and if you'll leave that, I'll get back with you. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That is 535-9089. And I think that does it for the preliminaries. Let's look at the 8th chapter of Zechariah. Now, a day is coming in which the Lord will gather together all of his own. And when I say his own, remember and understand that God has an earthly people and he has a heavenly people. He has an earthly people, and they are Israel, and his hand has been on them from the very beginning. And at the very beginning, he gave them promises about the land in which he promised to give to them, promises about what he would do for that people. These are promises given in grace, and don't you forget it. It is always a great temptation, I think, for all of us to think in terms of, if we fail, then God also must fail. I mean, that seems rather strange, and yet, there's no doubt about it, we do think in those ways. But God's promises are without repentance, and when he says he will do something, he will, in fact, do it. Particularly when he says these things and makes these promises unconditionally. So God has an earthly people. They are Israel. God has a heavenly people. It is His church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is something that is being put together right now during this dispensation, a stone at a time, a person at a time, individuals called out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and people, and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as God will gather Israel together and in the end days, He will gather His people together, the heavenly people, the church. I think most of you out there probably know the promise, but for those of you who might not, here it is. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, there's another one. That's out of 1 Corinthians, or rather 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 15, we get it again. This is Paul writing. He was the one doing the writing in 1 Thessalonians. He's the one doing the writing in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Now notice that word "all." We shall all. "The trumpet shall sound," wrote Paul, "and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.'" Now, that is what the church has to look forward to. If you are born again, when the Lord comes back for His church, you will go. And you know, it's just like when the Lord stood at the tomb of Lazarus and said, "Lazarus, come forth." He is going to come and call for His church, and we will indeed come forth. What we have in chapter 8 of Zechariah, however, is another gathering. And let's pick it up and look at it in verse 7. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts." This is chapter 8, verse 7. "Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness." Now, when we were in here the last time, we were talking about the Lord's promises to Israel and to Jerusalem, and how the city would be full of boys and girls playing in the streets, and old men and old women shall dwell in Jerusalem. And when you think about it and you look at Jerusalem right now and you see what's going on, it is a beleaguered city, surrounded by armies, people lobbing rockets and bombs in there. The hostile people surrounding Israel right now and claiming, you know, that they are illegitimately in the land, and they're going to wipe them out of existence and slaughter them to a man and all of that. All of that's going to change. There is going to be peace. And look at what the Lord says here. "Thus saith," once again, "the Lord of hosts, I will save my people." Now, the people that the Lord is talking about here are not Muslims. They are not Arabs. They are not Germans, Irish, Chinese. They are not any of that. This is Israel that is being addressed, and it's Israel that is being talked to. Now, if you are sitting out there and you're a Gentile and you're saying, "Well, okay, what does this have to do with me?" Well, what it has to do with you is at least indirect. It is not directly involving you, but indirectly it is involving all people. Because this is an end-time promise. Now, if you say, "Well, what about Zechariah here?" Zechariah was not an end-time man. It is quite possible that this prophecy only had to do with those Jews that had been taken captive to Babylon, and Zechariah was one of those. He was a child of the captivity, and God is promising here to bring them back. Well, they were taken away to the east. But God also, in this promise we just read, said, I'll bring them back from the west. Now, we all know, I suppose we all know, that in 70 A.D., when Titus and the Romans destroyed Jerusalem and tore down the walls and tore down the temple, they scattered and dispersed the people into, well, just about everywhere. There is not a nation on this earth that the Jews have not been sent out to. And one of the most amazing things, you know, a man, it's recorded that I believe it was Frederick the Great who asked someone, and I could be have my quotes here wrong, but he asked, you know, what makes you think this Bible is true? And the answer that he was given was, the Jew, the Jew. Now, those of you who are Americans can probably appreciate this, and I assume I'm talking to Americans here. If you're listening and you're a non-American, that's okay. Welcome, delighted to have you. But Americans can perhaps identify with this. We came to this country from virtually every country on the face of this map. And we came to this country, and in this country, we tended to lose our identities as far as the countries we came from. Now, I happen to know a little bit about myself because my wife is a genealogist and my daughter is a genealogist, and they like to look up the old family trees and go back and say, well, you know, Grandma so-and-so's father and mother, they came from here, and some of these genealogists are pretty good at this. And I can tell you that for the most part, my ancestors came to this country from Ireland. I've got a few Germans back there, a little Welsh. I've got a lot of Scandinavian, but even those Scandinavians in my background came to this country via Ireland. I've got some French Huguenot in my background, but they too came to this country from Ireland. And the interesting thing about it is that, speaking for myself now, I don't know about the rest of you, but in this country I have utterly lost my pre-American identity. I don't think of myself as Irish. I think of myself as an American. And if I go to Ireland today, the people from Ireland are not going to flock out and meet me at the docks and say, let's welcome this Irish boy home. They're going to say he's an American. There's nothing Irish about me. My accent's not Irish. I don't, everything about me is an American. And I have said it more than once, and I'll say it again, you know, I'm sure Ireland is a lovely people, a lovely country full of lovely people, but I don't intend to go back there. And if in some strange way Ireland, let's just say, were to have some falling out and America were to go to war with Ireland, well, there's no question about who I would support. I would not support Ireland. Not in a minute. I'm an American, and I would always side in with America. Now, think about this, and yet think about the Jews. The last of my ancestors who came to this country were my great grandfather, I believe, perhaps my great great grandfather, maybe. Yeah, that's who it would be. It'd be my great great grandfather who came to this country from Ireland. He was born in Ireland in about 1847. And so he came over here probably prior to the American Civil War. And, I don't know a thing about the man other than his name and where he came from. But there is, you know, once again, our identity as Irish has been completely lost. Now, think of the Jews. That was maybe 150 years ago that my grandfather, great-great-grandfather, came here from Ireland. The Jews were dispersed all over the world in 70 A.D., and they have never lost their identity as Jews. They are still a distinct people. They are still holding to their identity. They are still have this great loyalty to Israel and to Jerusalem. And, you know, it's an amazing thing, or is it? Because God in His Word has said that He would preserve them. He said it more than once, and that He would bring them back. And we have it right here. And He says, notice, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. Now, the east country, that, you know, if that's all we were talking about, then it would be possible to say, well, it was just those Jews that were taken away to Babylon. But the west country? None of these Jews that were taken to Babylon can be said to have been coming back from the west. So this is something much broader than that. He says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, I don't care if you are listening to me and you are a Jew. I don't care if you believe in God or not. This promise is good, and it will be good, and it is not going to change. They shall be my people. I don't happen to agree with anyone who says that the Jews have lost their identity as the people of God. I don't believe it for a minute. They are the earthly people of God, true, but God's hand is still on them, and He is not finished with them yet, not by a long shot. Let's read some more of this promise. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. And that's exactly what these people had known, and that's what they know right now. There is war and trouble in the Middle East, and there has always been. But a day is coming, and coming quickly, I'm persuaded, when all of that is going to change. He says in verse 11 here, this is the Lord now, but now I will not be under the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. If you think that the blessing of God has come upon Israel now, the nation of Israel, this is nothing. This is nothing. The blessing of God is yet to come, and come in such a way that the whole of creation will see it and rejoice. The vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Now I assume that I am talking to individuals out here who have some understanding of what's going on in this world. Isn't it interesting? God, when He called Abraham, said, in thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's a promise. And that is certainly the truth. And of course, the seed of Abraham in that case is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus our Lord. And in truth, all the nations of the earth have been blessed in Him. But look at this one. It says here that you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, but you shall be a blessing. Now, if you don't know and if you don't understand that the Jews over the years have been a troublesome thing to so many of the Gentiles, not because the Jews were themselves troublesome, but the Gentiles have simply hated the Jews and have persecuted them. And of all the people on this earth, there is not one group, and I mean not one, that have been persecuted the way the Jews have been persecuted. If you are an American Indian and you say, well, we had some pretty hard times here, nevertheless, the Jews have been persecuted from country to country and hounded from country to country, and everywhere they've gone, they have been persecuted. If you are black and you say, well, we, you know, were brought over to this country in chains and made slaves and we were denied our rights and so on and so forth, any group of people that you can name would have to admit, if they are honest, that none of them have ever been persecuted the way the Jews have been persecuted. And, of course, when I was a kid, one of the earliest things that I can remember is World War II and the Nazis marching through the streets of the great cities of Europe. And at the end of the war, when we went in and liberated these death camps, the films that came out and that we were shown, we were astounded and stunned by what we saw, the persecution that was going on. And right now, even as I speak, we are still seeing the Jews persecuted. And but that this is going to change. You have been a curse. You will be a blessing. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. This is wonderful. These promises are sure and certain, and they will come to pass. And I, once again, I am persuaded in the very near future. Let's read on with some of this. We're about out of time, but we can read some more of this. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord of hosts. And of course, the Lord continually warns Israel and continually reminds them of what he has asked them to do. And here we have it again. The word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore love the truth and peace. No reason not to just stop there. Let's read on. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. This truth has not yet been fulfilled.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.